Most people go so far in life and then they park. They stop dead in their tracks. Why? Because they take some hits. When you have a goal and dream, think it not strange that you face the fiery furnaces of this world. You will have tribulations. Things are going to happen to you.
Life tries to convince us that we're average. There's nothing special about us. We have too many obstacles. We'll never accomplish our dreams. We've made too many mistakes. We'll never leave our mark. We don't realize who we are.
Maybe you have doubt in your life. Maybe you don't know for sure what's going to be happening in the future and it scares you. Maybe you're worried about what people think of you, what people say about you. Just that fear paralyzes you. And I just want to ask you today, do you think you have hope?
Somebody said that life is like an onion. You have to peel it one layer at a time. And sometimes you cry. Life's going to happen to you when you have a dream. You're going to get slapped around. And don't take it personal. Don't ask, why did this have to happen to me? Why not you? Who would you suggest? You want to give us some names, some email addresses? And don't tell everybody. 80% don't care, and 20% glad is you.
I want to ask you, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe in yourself? Are you going to believe everybody else's judgment on you? Are you going to believe people when they say that you're a failure? No one really likes you. No one really cares about you.
It's called life. Suck it up and move on. Get over it.
Turn it on itself and ask yourself, what am I afraid of? If I'm afraid of that, I got to be more afraid of what I'm going to miss out on. Missing out on my mission. Missing out on who I'm supposed to be. Missing. In other words, if you're not getting rid of fear, then use fear. Use fear or it uses you. It's that simple.
You are not like everybody else. You can walk outside and find pigeons, but if you're looking for eagles, it's going to take you a minute. You are different. It's lonely at the top. How many of you know it's lonely at the top? It's lonely at the top, but you eat better.
And it's not the end until you've given up. And just the fact that you're here should persuade you that you have another chance to get back up. There's still hope. I'm not here today to tell you that I understand your pain. I don't know how it feels to be abused. I don't know how it feels to feel, quote, fat and you've got an eating disorder. I don't know how it feels to have a broken home. I don't know how it feels. I don't know how it feels to have a broken heart. And I know how it feels to be alone. And I want you to know that I found my strength in Jesus Christ, and you're going to find your strength in whatever you find it in. But I just want you to know that it's not the end. It matters how you're going to finish. Are you going to finish strong? And you will find that strength to get back up like this.
Your present or past results have absolutely nothing to do with what's going to happen from this point forward. Now, that was the point that Ray Stanford drilled into my head. You see, I kept thinking, well, gee, I'm such a mess up. You know, I've done everything wrong up till now. I'm 26. I'm broke. I'm not happy. Everything was wrong. He said, Bob, that's all in the past. He said, every moment is a new moment. We shouldn't condemn ourselves. And he said, what you were yesterday, you paid for. What you are today, you decide upon. That's exactly what True Word's saying. This power in no way is limited by precedent. Even in a creative state, we sometimes don't understand that. Do you know why airplanes, right up to today almost, have wings on them? Because birds have wings. Birds fly, they have wings. You're gonna get a plane to fly, you gotta put wings on it. Do you? No. We've got planes flying without wings today. You know why? Never did need wings. But you see, the thinking was, to a degree, limited by precedent. Birds fly with wings. Planes have to have wings. Planes do not have to have wings. You're creative. If you can visualize it, you can do it. It doesn't matter what it is. That's what Hill said. Anything the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
There is no more effective way of operating in the world than to conceptualize the highest good that you can and then strive to attain it. There's no more practical pathway to the kind of success that you could have if you actually knew what success was. The world shifts itself around your aim, because you're a creature that has an aim. You have to have an aim in order to do something. You're an aiming creature. You look at a point and you move towards it. It's built right into you. And so you have an aim. Well, let's say your aim is the highest possible aim. Well, then so that sets up the world around you. It organizes all of your perceptions. It organizes what you see and you don't see. It organizes your emotions and your motivations. So you organize yourself around that aim. And then what happens is the day manifests itself as a set of challenges and problems. And if you solve them properly, then you stay on the pathway towards that aim. And you can concentrate on the day. And so that way you get to have your cake and eat it too, because you can point into the distance, the far distance, and you can live in the day. And it seems to me that that makes every moment of the day supercharged with meaning. That's how, because if everything that you're doing every day is related to the highest possible aim that you can conceptualize, well, that's the very definition of the meaning that would sustain you in your life.
I believe that those rules can be applied to almost anyone and everyone. If you want to excel in whatever you do, those rules are for you. It's that simple. So my first rule is find your vision and follow it. You see, I think it's the most important thing that we have a very clear vision of where we go, a goal, where do we go? Because you can have the best ship in the world. You can have the best cruise liner, but if the captain does not know where to go, that ship will drift around the world and out there at sea and will never end up anywhere. And this is exactly the way it is in real life. If you don't have a goal, if you don't have a vision, you just drift around and you're not going to be happy. The simple truth is, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a goal, if you don't see your future laid out in front of you, you're just floating around without a purpose. And I think that the numbers speak for themselves. This is why so many people around the world are unhappy with their jobs. I mean, in America, 74% of the people hate their job and would like to change jobs. But think about that. That means that only a quarter of the Americans love their life's work. I mean, that is a very depressing statistic. I always smiled when I worked, no matter how hard I worked. I always had a great time, no matter what I did. It didn't matter if it was in bodybuilding, or if it was in the movies, or if it was as governor. I remember in the pumping iron days, people asked me in the gym all the time, why are you smiling all the time? Why are you so happy? You have to lift 50 tons of weights. You have to train 5 hours a day. I mean, I look at the other bodybuilders' faces and lifters' faces, and they look kind of depressing. They look sour. They're miserable that they have to lift weights. You don't look miserable. You look happy. And I tell them always, I say, I smile because I know exactly that every rep that I do, that every set that I do, every weight that I lift, I get one step closer to turning that vision of mine into reality and becoming that Mr. Universe. I could not wait to lift another 500 pounds in the squats. I could not wait to do another 1,000 sit-ups. I could not wait to do bench press and more curls until I couldn't move my arms anymore. Because I knew that every rep got me closer to standing on that stage as a champion. As a matter of fact, when I lifted weights, I didn't really feel like I was lifting weights. I felt like I was lifting a trophy over my head each time I lifted. And to have all those bodybuilders around me and thousands of people screaming. And I tell you that this vision didn't just help me in bodybuilding, it helped me with everything, like I said.
Focus is the most important quality for success. If you can focus, you can do anything. If you can't focus, you must always work for someone else who will make you focus. Now, wonderfully enough, focusing is like learning how to ride a bicycle or type with a keyboard. It's a learnable skill. You can learn to focus by practicing focus until it becomes automatic. One of the most valuable exercises you can engage in when setting goals is to ask yourself, what is my limiting step? What is the one factor that determines the speed at which I achieve my goal, or whether I achieve it at all, throughout my personal development? Your ability to identify your limiting step is one of the best demonstrations of your intelligence and a step toward building self-confidence. Your capacity to eliminate this limiting step is one of the best demonstrations of your overall competence in achieving anything you want. In studying everything that has been written or said about personal development and success, the conclusion I came to was that your level of self-confidence is probably the critical factor in everything you accomplish. When you have enough self-confidence, you will try almost anything. Because success is largely a matter of averages or probabilities, the more things you try, the more likely it is that you will achieve greatly. The same is true for you. By setting goals, trying more things, engaging in more activities, and exploring more opportunities, your probabilities of success increase dramatically. The only real limiting step that you might have is your level of self-confidence. When you reach the point at which you believe in yourself absolutely, the barriers that exist in your external world will not stop you.
If you want to be a better leader, understand and then practice these three I's. Number one, inspiration. The job of a leader really is to inspire other people. If you look at Steve Jobs, you look at Elon Musk, you look at Nelson Mandela, you look at Sergey Brin of Google, you look at a Rembrandt or a Picasso, these people were incredibly inspired. They were not only incredibly inspired, they were inspirational to other people. I mean, there's that incredible story of Steve Jobs, and a lot of people say Steve Jobs wasn't a nice person. And yet, if you were to poll the former employees of Apple, they would say, my years at Apple working with Steve Jobs were the single best years of my entire career. And you say, why? And they say, because he was inspirational. I mean, when Steve Jobs was a young man or a young kid, you know, his father said, go out and paint the fence outside of their house. And Steve Jobs said, no problem. He went out and he started painting the outside of the fence. A few hours later, his father comes out and says, Steve, did you paint the fence? Steve says, I did, Dad. Steve Jobs' father inspects the fence. And he says, Steve, you did a great job painting the outside of the fence, but you didn't paint the inside of the fence. And Steve Jobs looks up at his father and says, but Dad, no one's going to see the inside of the fence. And his father looks at him and says, but son, we will. Now it's many decades later, and Steve Jobs is running Apple, and they're ready to launch, or ready to develop, rather, the first Apple Macintosh. And he looks at his design team and he said, here's your deliverable. I want the outside of the computer to look so simple and so elegant, like a piece of art. But here's the real mission. Make the inside so beautiful that it'll bring tears to our eyes. And his design team looked at him and said, but Steve, no one's going to see the inside of the Apple Macintosh. And Steve Jobs looked at his team and said, but we will. That's inspiration.